Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb in Jesus' mother's soul, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sin against you.
And welcome back to another edition of Reese on the Radio. 7 o'clock. We're on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And I've got to clown myself today. I truly have to. Because it's only right. It's time for me to grab my bootstraps, embrace the hate, and keep it moving. And I didn't do that. I got emotional. And of course, when the hate comes your way and you're not able to accept it, you must take it right in the chin. It's March 1st, Rabbit, 2012. That was me yesterday,
folks.
I have to admit it, that was me. That's not that. I was just inconsolable. I threw a temper tantrum, sat in a corner, watched Jeopardy. I was devastated. I got my ego bruised. I definitely got my ego bruised. That is exactly what happened. And I got to call it as I see it. It's unfortunate, but it happens. It sucks, but it happens. And I've checked myself. I promise you. I've checked myself. Had a long conversation today. I had a few conversations today, but one in particular was a sound one. Old colleague of mine, it was a refreshing conversation. And I'm going to take it for what it's worth. And I want to thank them wholeheartedly for that. And now that I got my bearings, you know, I'm not going to sit around feeling sorry for myself, because that's what it was I was doing yesterday. So, you know, the WLVS thing didn't work out. You know, things could happen in the future. What it does, it does. And there'll be no more crying here. We move on. A sad, sad story today. For a person who I consider a colleague, a dear friend, I'd like to call him a warrior, not so much a soldier. There are a lot of people who could be a soldier, but scared to death to fire a gun, run into the front lines, to be in combat. There are a lot of soldiers out there. You know, there's no disrespect to those who are soldiers, but you know what I mean. There are people out there who go out there and go on the front lines and they give their lives, and we respect that. But when I'm using the word soldiers, is there are a lot of people who are part of a mission who sometimes get a little frayed, and they get a little, you know, suspicious, cautious, nervous. And that's soldiers in the field of any particular movement. They don't really know how to combat the opposition. They want to be there. They're full throttled. You know, they believe in the mission, but they have their trepidations, if you will. But this man was a warrior. he walked right into the faces of the enemy. And the enemy, I do mean liberals. This man was a conservative warrior. He ran out there when no one else would. He ran out there in the front lines when no one else could. He took political activism on a whole new level. The man was a believer in truth. You know, and over the past 3 years, as I grew to know him even more, he encouraged me. He really, really, he put a fire underneath me to search for truth and to demand the truth and to fight it and not stop fighting for it. And that man's name is Andrew Breitbart, who leaves behind a wife and 4 children. He died, according to reports, at 12:15 this morning, walking home from a bar. A new report comes out that says that Breitbart was leaving a bar called the Brentwood in California, and he was having a glass of wine and was having a conversation for about two hours with another gentleman there, and they were politely talking politics. The gentleman who he was having this conversation with spoke to the Hollywood Reporter and said that that Breitbart was gleefully talking about his position. He wasn't being rude or mean-spirited. He was having a spirited conversation, but he never ever disrespected. He thought that even though he was opposed to Andrew Breitbart's position, he respected him. And it's so, he said it was so sad to know that he was the last man he spoke to. And as he's walking home, he dies on the street at the age of 43, a young man. And again, you know, when I say that he was somebody I was proud to have known and communicated with, it's important that people know what type of man he was. I'm a little angered by an article that was published today that tried to ridicule him, but that's not even important, because the overwhelming love and support for his family and his life has been tremendous. I mean, Fox News spent a considerable amount of time on him. Other conservative outlets have been talking about Breitbart. I'm so happy to know that his name didn't go unmentioned in today's media. To give you I guess the best way to do it is to show you what type of man he was and how he would just confront people unafraid. They called him the Happy Warrior.
Do you even know what you're protesting? How much are you getting paid? You don't even know why you're here. You don't understand why you're here.
We know very well
how much
why
are
we're
you getting
here.
Paid?
We're not getting paid today. We're not paying anybody. Nobody's getting paid. We are here.
Are you here to stop the hate?
Yes.
Are you a hateful man?
No, I'm certainly not.
You're hateful.
I'm a peaceful man.
What are you here for?
I am here to stop the hate that Glenn Beck is promulgating.
Like what? One thing that he said that's hateful. One thing. One thing. One. One thing that he said that's hateful. One. One. Not 100. One. One.
I'm not going to fall into your trap.
One. It's a trap. Truth is a trap.
He should not be allowed.
Why is he a coward? 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 Your sign says Beck is a coward. Why is he a coward?
Because
why is he a coward?
He stands there on his.
I'm asking him. That's what he's saying.
He stands in his TV show. It just, you know what?
Why is he a coward? Your sign has a very clear statement. Why? SEIU. Who here is from SEIU? What has Beck lied about? I'm going to go sign by sign. What has he lied about? Name one lie.
Probably everything.
Probably everything. Good quote.
There you go.
Is there a single person here willing to back up what your sign has to say? Is there a single person whose sign is backed up by truth? Here. You're here because the unions told you to come here, and he's organizing you. You are not an individual. You are a mass, and he's organizing you. You do not have free will in the United States. You want to be led. I thought dissent was patriotic. Since we started organizing, saying we want to get back to the Constitution, that we want to get back to the founding principles, we've been told that we're haters for saying that we believe in the Constitution.
Oh, boy.
And that's who he was. If you saw that video, Breitbart is there by himself in front of a mob, all screaming hateful things about Glenn Beck and conservatives and Republicans, talking about hate, calling Glenn Beck a coward. He stood there by himself. His reporters were surrounding Breitbart. No one else is engaging, but he's standing there. And the crowd literally walks away from the partition. They walk away from the partition because they can't confront him. They're standing there spewing all these things. Glenn Beck's a liar. Glenn Beck's a coward. Glenn Beck is... And Breitbart challenged every sign. Mentioned one sign. Mentioned one quote. Guy said, I'm not going to fall into your trap. Oh, I'm not going to fall. Why would you be holding a sign that says that he's a coward? But you can't... I mean, he's a liar. Can't come up with one thing he lied about. It's... We lost a great man who was willing to do that. I don't know anybody else in the business who was willing to go up there and confront people like that. He supercharges me. His passing today has done things to me you wouldn't believe. I sat back and I reflected on everything that happened to me yesterday. And to wake up this morning and to hear those words, Andrew Breitbart dead at the age of 43, it was so reflective. That anybody, nothing's promised. The man's walking home from having a glass of red wine. Some irony there. I was just weeks ago arguing about the fact that I was disappointed that red wine does nothing for the heart. And here it is, Andrew Breitbart, one of my heroes, one of my saviors. And I say saviors because he really, really took me back from the brink when I was going through the whole Rikers Island experience. And here this man walking home, going home to his family, a courageous fighter, and it's over. And I had to wake up and put things into perspective. So there's nothing to cry about. I'm still here. Breitbart's gone. His name, his legend, his legacy will live on, but he's gone. And I'm still here. I have another day to fight. I don't know why, but yesterday... I just sucked it up, packed it in, and just said, screw it, like a petulant child. And I got to call myself on it. I have to call myself on being a petulant child. It's never, ever going to happen again. Because it can't happen again. It's time to put a whole bunch of things in perspective. Andrew Breitbart, your family, your children, we salute you, we salute them, our prayers go to them, as so many other people are outpouring their love and their memories of you. I just want to do the same. I will, not that I have to do it for you, because I'm pretty sure there are plenty of people out there to do it for you, but for myself, I will continue to press on. And to fight against the lies. And fight for nothing more than the truth. And nothing less than the truth. So, if I may, I'd like to go into song. If I may, let me go a little step back. When I was in junior high school, junior high school teacher named Mr. Gershon. Whenever we would go out on a field trip, on a school trip in a bus, he would hook up a boombox to a bunch of speakers inside the bus. And the tradition was before we left on that road trip, no matter where we were going, Empire State Building, the Twin Towers, going out on a field trip to the country, to Washington, D.C., he had one rule. We had to play one song as tradition. It was for good luck so that we would have a successful trip. Well, one day I went on a new trip. Gershon didn't take us, and it was our English teacher, a German woman. I can't remember her name. We went out on a trip, and we told her, look, when we go out on a field trip, we always play this song first. She refused to play the song. And just as we were about to get to Washington, D.C., we got hit by a fish truck and literally didn't get to see most of the sites we needed to go to because we were stuck in an accident. So this song has played a major part. You may call it corny, but like I care. For you, Mr. Gershon, for you, Mr. Breitbart, regardless of your passing, we won't stop, sir.
Shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue. Super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password. Ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars. Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701. Right here on Reese on the Radio.
And we're back at Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. This March 1st, 2012. To return to the show. A little bit of Donovan there, Season of the Witch. Pretty good bumper. Anyway, a lot of news, of course, to get into. Breitbart, that was, of course, you know, very, very sad news today. The purveyor of Breitbart TV, big government, bigjournalism.com, great websites. A lot of people don't know this, but it's primarily where we get our audio from. Breitbart has a he's always had sort of thing where he believes in getting news out before anybody else does, much like the Drudge Report, which is another source of news that so many people go through. It's some, you know, the greatest and the newest. You know, I can quote Rush Limbaugh, you know, of course, you know, my old show back in the days, you know, Drudge Report was a very, very good source of news. And Breitbart began in sort of online media at Drudge Report, created the Huffington Post, or one of the co-creators of Huffington Post, and of course, Breitbart TV. So it's sad to see him go. We, you know, may he rest in peace. One of the stories actually that's been making a lot of headlines, we were going to talk about it yesterday, and this one baffled the crap out of me, because I don't think that this should be a situation where we have to deal with law. But I understand why. It shouldn't be an issue of law, because it slightly goes from parenting to FCC rules, and it sort of teeters on one or the other. The story yesterday was whether or not parents should be allowed to get, or I want to say peruse through their children's text messages on their cell phone. And this, of course, meaning if they pay the bill. So if my son has a cell phone bill that I pay for, in essence, the bills come to me. I pay for it. In essence, it's my phone. Chuck, Timmy, Bobby, Susie, they're only borrowing it. It's on my dime. So in essence, this is my phone. And if it's my bill and I'm paying for it, I mean, I would believe that if my credit card is paying for it or whatever, you know, whatever, however it happens to be paid for, most likely credit cards, debit cards, whatever, that I am in charge of that account. So therefore, I have some right, so to speak, to get into the information that's going over that piece of material. This is what it is that I'm saying, because there's another story that I remember many years ago that parents were doing when it involved children driving. And, you know, parents would put GPS trackers on the car. Of course, as you know, there's OnStar available on several vehicles. Parents could, there's even indicators you can put on your car that you can find out whether or not your child is breaking the speed limit. You know, I don't know how deep into joyriding they can investigate, but you can. There were items that you could put on your car, and you know, I believe that even companies like Allstate and Progressive, these car insurance companies, you know, they give you rebates or they give you a lower insurance payment monthly based upon how well your child drives because he's under your insurance. So I thought about all of that when I heard this story about parents who pay cell phone bills wanting to be able to investigate what it is that their children are texting. Now, I know why, and this is in Arizona, by the way, why Arizona is thinking about this and why parents believe that they have the right. There's some people, you know, the ACLU and all those other people, those libs screaming, oh, you know, invasion of privacy. But, you know, this is your child. There should not be an American Civil Liberties Union hack stepping in between you watching out and protecting your children from dangerous things that happen over these particular airways, these cellways. As we know, over and over again, we've seen this sexting craze skyrocket. We've seen kids in New Jersey who have been charged with exchanging child pornography because one 15-year-old girl would send a nude photo to her 17- or 16-year-old boyfriend. And the girl who sent the photo would be, in essence, trafficking or sending lewd underage photos. That's a child pornography charge. So, and, you know, parents would go, like, I can't believe that the authorities would go so far. But, you know, it's the letter of the law. We can't say that, oh, we have to stipulate in the law, well, if you're a teenager and you're sending it to another teenager, then it's okay. You know, these phones get hacked. That information is out there for hackers and people to reach out and grab. So stipulating that law and putting that law out there is protecting you. Now, look, I'll be the first one to say I don't agree with the whole nanny state idea. But in this case, a child cannot protect themselves in those type of situations, so you almost have to have some sort of interaction. So if you don't want the government to do it, allow their own parents to do it. And I think that's beneficial for them. But the issue that's been raised now is that the cell phone companies are wondering whether or not they can even handle that kind of capacity if the parents wish to do that. That's one of their issues. Second, they're worried about whether or not this is exactly legal for them to do. Because, again, there are privacy rules. Now, I know what I think is that, look, this is my child. You know, you live under my roof. And every person, you go everywhere on this story, every person's on the comment page saying the same thing. This is preposterous. There's nobody telling me that I cannot, you know, get information on my child just to make sure that they're not out there doing anything that may harm them or harm others. So there should be no debate. But there is. What I find strikingly odd is that in a world where you see so many harmful things that have taken place in the arena of like high school and junior high, we had a story the other day where little girls are online doing the Am I Ugly videos, asking strangers to rate them on YouTube. You know, we've got cyberbullying. Of course, the sexting, the aforementioned sexting, and even bullying to the rate where it's exploded with this new Ohio shooting.
And even worse, if you'd let me jump in for a moment.
Sure, please.
Don't forget the games on the playground.
Tag rape. On the playground, these games are ridiculous. So I can understand that, you know, permissive behavior has sort of created this monster within our youth. And, you know, and when I say by permissive behavior, we've had more and more people sort of allowing people to just run amok, allowing children to run amok. Plus, they have so much access to these resources, like cell phones, like the internet, Facebook, Tumblr, all of them.
No. On that one,
mm-hmm.
It's gotten a lot worse with the Skype and the OVO.
Well, I'm not even familiar
with
it.
Where they're going head to head in video.
What's that last one you called it?
OVO.
OVO. I haven't even heard of that. Shows you how out of touch.
It's like Skype. It's like a futuristic version of Skype.
Right.
A lot better graphically, better features,
uh-huh.
And the connection always seems to be a little better as well.
Hmm. Well, you gotta let me know about that. You gotta email it. You gotta send that to me. Of course, on the phone is a part of our intrepid crew, Mr. Kool Aid Man.
Oh yeah.
How we doing, Kane?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry, I'm late.
Not a problem, sir.
How are you? Kool-Aid?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. It's the rest of the world that's going nuts.
You're absolutely right, James. You have children. I think more so. You have more like nieces and nephews. I believe one of your nephews is as young as 9 years old. I don't. Does he have a cell phone? By the way, at that age, I know some kids are getting them a lot younger.
He wants one, but no. No, we're not allowing him to have one.
Wait until he gets into at least junior high school. I think that's the appropriate age. Because they have a little more independence in junior high school. You know, they walk to school by themselves. They travel with their own little clique of friends. They become more outgoing, and they go out in the public a little more. So that's that. But when they're in public school, it's kind of mom's picking you up or dad's picking you up too, or taking you to school. So it's not really needed. But as they become more independent, that's when you do it. But what's your view on this whole thing? Do you think parents have the right to be. I mean, I know where, I almost feel like I know where you're going to go here because it just seems so rational. But do you think that there should be an argument that parents should be able to check the kids' text messages or have access to them without this government intervening thing?
Actually, I think, yeah. I mean, just look at what happened with the whole YouTube and the computer thing. The guy who shot his daughter's laptop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a perfect example with the father, Tommy Joseph, in North Carolina, who shot up his daughter's laptop for her leaving offensive things about the family on Facebook. I mean, and he would have never known that had he not gotten the computer to give it an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, in this particular case, it's sort of like, I mean, I guess it sort of warrants the answer that, look, parents need to get a better hold on their children. It's important that they do. You know, it's important that they do their best to make sure they get a foothold on what it is that their children are doing. I think we lost James. Anyway, he'll call back. So it's scary enough for me that parents don't outright just say, you know, I would tell the kids right off the bat, you know, you want the cell phone, you're going to give me access to the phone no matter what. I mean, you got to have it.
I got to tell you, I was kind of fortunate to have missed that phase. I mean, when my kids were teens, as bad as they wanted cell phones were a little bit too expensive at the time.
Right.
The pick trading was not huge at all at that time because it was really expensive. And you couldn't afford the phones with the cameras.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. But now, hell, you can get an Obama phone with a camera on it.
Oh, which one?
What phone?
Yes, he's calling the Obama phone because it's actually
the
paid
Obama
for.
The Obama phone.
It's paid for by the federal government. And what's the company?
That's what they call them in the hood.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling them in the hood, the Obama phones.
Well, which service is that, is the Obama phone?
I forgot the name of it, but I'm...
Assurance. Yeah, Assurance and Track Phone is one of them.
I'm almost certain that...
Track Phone, Assurance, Lifeline.
Lifeline.
Yes, that's...
Yeah, there are a couple of them.
It's funny because there was a report about that says that you could actually get like 6 months free or... 30 days free, something like that. If you
no, you can get them. You can get basically for as long as you should need it. You get 250 minutes a month.
Right,
but
exactly.
The minutes don't roll over.
But isn't there something that you can get if you add someone else onto the program? If you bring someone else in?
No, if you pay $10,
well,
you can get a little unlimited.
That's in any service.
I don't mind that being an incentive for a Sprint or a, you know, a T-Mobile, but I damn sure don't.
Not likely.
But a government phone.
But you know what?
No, with the government.
Speaking
phone,
of, why? Go ahead, Jason. Sorry.
All right. From my understanding, with the government phones, if you're on like Tanif or anything, now that cell phones have become such a staple, and it's also a way to keep in touch with you, keep tabs on you, so it goes both ways. But being that they're such a staple, and in any type of emergency, or if they need to get in touch with you, they can.
Right. Well, I just think that at this particular point in our lives, the way that our children operate, and the way that they interact with each other, be it for any reason, albeit any reason, be it violence, be it sexual, be it, you know, bullying or being bullied for all that matter, I think parents want to get – and because so many parents are involved with working and being out there and not being able to really, really be engaged in their child's lives, so they're worried about what it is that their kids are getting into or where their influences or where the peer pressure is coming from. Giving them one more tool to keep a hold on that is a beneficial thing for them. I don't think that any government One, should deter it. And two, I think most importantly, I don't think groups like the ACLU should make this an issue of privacy when we're dealing with children. I mean, I'm sorry. When I was a kid, I remember
when you're a child, you have no privacy.
That's exactly what I was going to say, James. I was going to say that when I was a kid, my mom, you know, I told my mom that I wanted a lock on the door. I'll never forget. My mom was like, why? For privacy? You have no privacy here. You know, your room is my room. As long as I pay for it, you know, you're just a squatter. You know? You're a glorified squatter in my house.
And then, but when you do, see, my thing, and you know how, as you said, you knew where I was going to go with this, because I feel this way that it's not even that it's so much of a permissive society. It's everyone's in your business now. Okay, kids are getting more and more power because the parents are getting more and more power taken from them.
You're okay. You know, I think that what happened was, for me, in the way that I view it, you'll probably remember this, guys, because you're old enough to remember this particular time in life. You remember the Kids Are People Too era?
Yeah.
JC, how about you?
Do I ever?
Well,
yeah.
You remember that movement about the whole Kids Are People Too, which was, in essence, a movement to give children more rights. And, you know, probably because there was an epidemic of child abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, and people were trying to legislatively find ways for children to get more power or to at least get more protection from these, you know, from these sort of abusive situations. And
Right. Not
so much that the laws were changing, but what it was that, you know, again, with the elimination of, like, corporal punishment or capital punishment, as they're calling it now, but beating your kids, you know, or giving your kids.
Well, can we not say beating your kids?
Okay,
there's a difference between beating your child and giving your child a whipping.
When I was a kid, it was called give your kid a beating. I don't think it was ever referred to as
I don't know. But I was just.
No, there's a difference between a whooping and a beating.
No, see,
yeah. Your child got whooped. You cut up, you got whooped.
Well, I've always heard the word beating when I was a child, which would probably explain.
No, when you're 13 or 14 and you post up against your dad, that's when you get beat.
Well,
there you go.
I called it a beating probably because it was excessive at best. But I'm saying, in general, it's, you know, I don't use the word beating as a pejorative, but you're right. But I got a whooping often, but now there's this whole thing about, you know, sociologists saying how bad that is on your children. And I think that dynamic has changed over the years with the way that parents are supposed to raise their children, giving their children more power, which becomes an atmosphere for permissive behavior. It's like when a kid knows. You know, when a kid knows that there are less consequences for bad behavior, you know, the timeout movement, the punishment movement, oh, you can't hit me, I'll call the police movement, you know, that sort of thing. You know, when that starts, kids get a sense of pride and strength and, you know, I don't know what's the best way to put it.
Entitlement.
Yeah, best way to put it, entitlement. And so now I think parents are starting to feel, look, we weren't this bad when we were kids.
Yep.
Something's got to be done.
I wish I would have told my
mom. And there's a reason
mom.
We weren't that bad, even though, because we could have been.
Yeah.
Sure.
We could have been. But the reason we didn't was because
there were consequences.
Of that whooping.
Yep.
Yeah, that whooping.
But now you can call, you know, DCS. You can call, you know, you have more liars, and kids are getting smarter, and adults are getting stupider.
Well, you think
because now the kids are starting to use the system,
right? And
they're using the system against us.
That's true. That is very true. Again, but, you know,
the sad part is they don't even have to pick up a phone to use the system. They can go right to school and use it.
So, yep, exactly. And, you know, again, it's a different world, but you know, there's not much of an argument to be made. The bottom line is that, look, everyone agrees, every parent out there is agreeing. I doubt that there are few and far between parents who are standing out there saying, well, I kind of understand the kid's privacy argument. I doubt that those people are out there saying that.
Well, you know what? Now, playing devil's advocate, I can understand the kid's privacy argument, but when they're using that privacy to run down the people who are giving you that privacy,
right?
That's where the line ends.
Couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. All right, well, we'll take a break. We've got plenty of other... Go ahead, JP,
you know,
I'm sorry.
Before we go, I wanted to say this. I can't tell you when my kids became teens and just began to smell themselves. You know?
Yeah.
When they got in that era, where they were just starting to really smell themselves and learn themselves and feel themselves. You know what I mean? I threatened with emancipation.
Well, of course, because it's getting earlier and earlier now.
Yeah.
I threaten them every other day. I mean, I put my kids out of my house. I mean, they were in a chained in there with a fence. You know how my backyard was.
Before we go to
backyard.
Break, I just want to say one thing. I want to say one thing because to JC's comment, because I find it funny myself, and I always find it funny. I don't know what the age is when adults start forgetting that we were once kids.
Yeah, there you go. You're absolutely right. We've been completely separated from our own youth.
Yep.
The bottom line. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into some more news. I've got a story that I've got to tell that I saw today that completely baffled me about the Obama administration. We'll be back. It's Reese on the radio, 347-308-8701. Stick around.
A brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Reese on the radio, we are back this March 1st, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. Just had to do two commercial breaks because, of course, I had to do a special tribute to my friend, Andrew Breitbart. Rest in peace, my friend, as we move on. I have to ask this question because I found this to be somewhat odd. With the problems that we're having in the world today, with the fiscal issues that we're having in the world today, This story broke yesterday, and I didn't even know how to exactly respond. And I want to go into this because I know I'm going to get some heat. It probably from Kool-Aid Man, but I'm probably going to get some heat. It was revealed yesterday that the Obama administration is planning on spending $750,000 to build a soccer field at Guantanamo Bay for the suspected terrorists who are being held there. Now, some people have been held there for about 10 years and will probably spend the rest of their lives in jail. But I'm wondering whether or not you believe that it's a smart thing to do to create recreation for these guys. I mean, these are people who pretty much who are alleged to be espousing death to America and are out in a battlefield trying to kill American troops. I sort of deem a soccer field at the grand total of $750,000. I thought it was $1 billion. I'm so glad it wasn't. But the hell, that's $750,000 on a soccer field. Now, I'm sure that's because, you know, the government is probably going to, you know, to sod the playing field. So it's probably going to cost $14,000 a square foot for grass by government standards. I mean, we can get a regular contractor from Fort Lee, New Jersey, that could probably get this thing done for about $4,000. I mean, it looks like a large backyard. It's probably a $5,000 project at best. But why is this costing? I can't understand it. Why is this costing $750,000?
Why is it a subject?
Well, it's a subject because it's your taxpayer money.
It shouldn't be a subject. It should be a non-issue. It should have never even come about.
Of course, I agree with that 100%, but it's going to happen. The problem that I'm having is I understand that people believe, okay, fine, you know, they're criminals or at least suspected criminals. They're being held, they're being held. Some people say, oh, give the guy some recreation. How bad could it be?
What the hell do they need recreation for?
Oh, hell no. And I got to get this off before James come in here.
wait.
Hold on a minute, buddy.
Jason, go.
But oh hell no.
Okay,
I'm already mad that they're already being held in a beautiful tropical climate.
Right.
We pay to go to islands like that.
This is true.
We pay to go to islands like that to vacation.
Absolutely.
They have three hots and a cot and beautiful sun.
Right.
And probably all the Cuban women they could look at.
Right. Well, I don't think they see any Cuban women.
Well, at least they get to smell a Cuban barbecue as the air wafts over to them. And I'm sure they're eating well. I'm sure they're getting catered in there and their native food.
I'm sure their food at Guantanamo Bay is better than most prisons or detention centers. You're probably right about that.
I say. We get Julio and his steamboat and his little steamboat tugboats, and just send them over sand, and let them play in the sand.
Well, this
don't
is
feel
true.
Like they're at home.
This exactly. Give them a side. Racist. The racism.
Give them sand and a volleyball.
It's not racism. That's a fact. They come from places that have a lot of sand. They have sandstorms for Christ's sake.
Isn't that racist?
Don't feel at home. You want to make them feel comfortable. Why don't you bury the asses under the sand that you drop off of?
Well,
there?
They're only suspected terrorists, and they
oh, God.
They
you're not in Guantanamo Bay because...
Give them some sand and give them some deactivated landmines and let them go hide them against each other and play hide-and-seek with them.
Let's let James get the last word on this. James, can you defend this move by the Obama administration? I'm not assuming that you are, but...
How can you?
I just figured.
He's grabbing his teeth.
How can I? Well, firstly, he wanted to get rid of Guantanamo Bay because it was, they did vet, Guantanamo Bay, and a lot of people in there have no other ties, or hasn't been proven that they have any other ties except for their names or some type of filial connection.
Well, that's not true. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is at Guantanamo Bay, and he's admitted that he's the architect.
How many other people are there?
I'm sure there are plenty. In fact, I can go through a list of names who are admitted terrorists who are there. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed being the most.
I thought you said
No. There are plenty there who are suspected of terrorism, but there are there who have openly admitted death to America, and they were part of Al Qaeda.
Does it even matter? This is a prison.
Right,
or a holding. Why are we talking about building prisoners
three quarters of a million.
How much is it? $750,000. $750,000 we're going to spend on building prisoners a freaking soccer field. Are they going to make soccer teams out of them and make money? Are they going to have stands?
I think it's just going to be a soccer field. But
it's
going to
be like Gridiron Gang.
I agree with you with the whole sand thing. Why are we giving them something that is not would be considered their natural playing field?
Why are we giving them anything other than three hot
I'd say spend $20,000, charter a plane, and drop them off at Rikers.
Look, even Rikers has a basketball field.
They don't play basketball.
Well, that's what I meant. Wow, that's awful, right? So somebody's into sports. Yes, they have basketball court. I should know. I was there.
They don't play basketball. You can't play basketball in a dress or a house coat.
Actually, they do.
They don't wear dresses. They wear very long shirts, but they also wear pants.
They're not very long shirts.
They're not dresses. Either.
You can't get too much air in them sandals, them Air Moses sandals.
Air Moses, I can't believe you just said
Air Moses. My goodness. Well, okay, James. So, do you think that they at least deserve a soccer field? First of all, the price tag is ridiculous. Let's be honest. $700. Listen, as I said before, you could get a contractor out in Fort Lee, New Jersey. For pennies on that dollar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, people have said that about anything the government does.
Yeah, for crying out loud.
Anything the government does. We have buildings here that we are paying, taxpayer dollars are going on, that are empty.
And that are sitting on our land, because we as Americans own this land, not the government.
All right, fine. All right, let's just deal with the question at hand. Frankly, for me, I want, even if they are not just suspected or alleged, even if they are, I want them doing something else than sitting around plotting. And what's going to happen if you keep them in a little room for 23 hours a day? You know, what's going to happen? They sit around, they stew in their juices. You're not rehabilitating. You're not teaching them or showing them that we are not the big, bad voodoo daddy that your leaders have told you we are.
Well, how about this one? If we want to teach them what you would consider Western values, you want to build them something that they can appreciate that would sort of expand on that ideal? Build them a baseball field. America.
It would still cost the same. What's the difference between a baseball field and a football field?
I would feel
you
better.
You got to get some sand in there.
But that's my point. I would feel better.
Build them a Catholic church.
You would feel better if they had a baseball field where they have bats, cleats.
No, this isn't about cleats. Put some tacks on the bottle.
You know, just
okay. All right.
They still got bats. They still got long wooden sticks.
And
the only one keeping them from us are the guards.
Okay, maybe
yeah.
That was,
okay,
maybe,
yeah, that'll work.
That was not well thought.
Whiffle bats and whiffle balls.
Okay, James, fair enough. Not well thought out. Yeah.
I mean, these people have been fighting for centuries with rocks and sticks.
Right, with less than that. In essence.
No, actually, they've been playing baseball all their lives.
Right. I think
with
I think
each other.
Right. That wasn't well thought.
Yeah, that wasn't a good idea. Listen.
I retract that ridiculous.
For $1,000, I can ship them a wrestling ring.
Now yeah. that I could see, because all that aggression is going against the man right in front of you.
Do you know how much I can get on pay-per-view for that?
They're playing cricket. That's what they play in their country. They don't play
soccer.
Not
a lot of them play cricket.
Yes, they do. That's a big thing over there.
We don't want to give them any kind of back.
They also
paddle.
Have
nothing
to use a
would.
Paddle, too. They have to use a paddle on that as well.
We're going
to
give them a wrestling ring.
We're going to give them nothing because they don't deserve.
I say bring back the gladiatorial games.
What
That's
are
the, right. Give them a wrestling ring.
So you're saying make them gladiators. I don't.
What is that show that we watch that's so funny? What is that show? The game show? With
Wipeout.
Wipeout. I say bring Wipeout to their butt.
That would actually be pretty cool.
I watch them bounce on the ball in those long dresses and sandals.
That would actually...
Bouncing around like ping pong balls.
Yeah, wipe out the Guantanamo Bay edition. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, James is right. They totally need an opportunity to let out some aggression.
Wipe out the camel
edition.
Why do you have to do that?
I'm going to get on my camel.
All right, now we have to go there. That's absolutely crazy. That's just crazy.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, well, what am I supposed to say to this? Just absolute insanity.
Do you know how much UConn paid for their field? For that blue grass, that blue Kentucky grass?
Well, what did you say? What did UConn spend?
UConn paid $70,000 for that field of blue Kentucky grass. And we complain about that, paying taxes on that. For the stadium here in East Hartford, Connecticut.
And again,
$750,000, that's 10%.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's 10%.
It's for me, it's almost preposterous that this number.
Are we giving them bleachers and cheerleaders?
That this is happening.
Pom-poms and burkas?
Yeah, I don't understand what the deal is. I'm sure that, you know, this is, you know, being built by Halliburton. For crying out loud, which would put such a
Halliburton. But did you hear me?
On. It's like
$750,000. Are we giving them stands?
Yeah, and here's the most alarming part about this, JC.
Are they going to play the Cubans?
Hold on. This is the most alarming part about this. It's not even a full court. No. It's not a full court. It's not a full field. It's only a half of the size of a soccer field. It's half the size.
Wow.
In essence,
that's awful.
Costing $1.5 million if it were larger, you know, or double the size.
Listen. Are we giving them cheerleaders?
I don't know what they. I don't think they would like that. I don't think that was anything they would even remotely want.
Why do you?
They wouldn't want cheerleaders.
Why wouldn't they? You think that
because burkas and pom-poms don't go together.
I don't think that they would want women out
there.
They're
some of the most sexually perverse.
No. Let's not make statement like that.
No, they are.
You're talking about people that you've experienced, and I understand.
Many of people.
Okay, all right. But that's such a blanket statement. It's a blanket statement, Mary. Goodness gracious.
Wait a minute.
James, I'll give you 30 seconds before we go to the top of the hour. Do you just want to wait until the next break? Because I've got some other very, very damaging Obama stuff that I have to get into.
I just don't want to see any cheerleader that has to wear a 3-4 some 4.
I'm there with you there. I'm completely there with you. Anyway, let's take a break. Let's go to the top of the hour. When we come back, is Jesse Jackson touting the food stamp president? It's Bruce on the radio. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
Top of the hour, it is 8:01 Eastern Standard Time, just a minute after the hour, right here on Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. You know, as I mentioned in the first hour, the crying has stopped. You know, yesterday, you know, I kind of threw a temper tantrum. And again, to those of you who were coming in to listen to the show and didn't see the show was on the air, again, my apologies, and, you know, we move on. And you can, of course, listen back to the first hour after the show, and you can hear my apology in full. You know, as I said, I kind of punked out. So, and that's over. And, you know, I had a lot of long conversations and with myself and thought about Andrew Breitbart, excuse me, who passed away early this morning at 12:15 a.m., and, I promise that as I move forward, I will keep his legacy alive by continuing to fight over and over again right here on Reese on the Radio and not give up the fight, even my fight for truth. So you'll never, ever have to see that from me again. Keeping with the conversation, we've talked at length about the argument about President Obama being the welfare president, the food stamp president, as Newt Gingrich put it. And the argument was whether or not it was true that he was a food stamp president. And then behind that, we looked at the numbers, 14.7 under Bush in 8 years, 14.2 in 3 years under Obama. We then backed that up with Tom Vilsack's statement on MSNBC, where when he was asked about what are we doing about food stamps in America, went on to say that he and the Department of Agriculture, which he is the secretary of, are making more and more moves to get more and more people on food stamps. We're going to introduce new legislation and new movements, to paraphrase, to get more and more people on food stamps in California, in Texas, in Florida, three of the biggest states in the union.
We're going to do things this country has never seen, never done in this country before.
That's right. To make sure that more and more people can get their benefits.
They know that those benefits are out there for them.
Right. And with all that, Barack Obama went so far as to say, hey, I'm not the food stamp president. George W. Bush is, and, you know, look at the numbers, and he's right. If we were to look at the numbers, George W. Bush outbeats the guy by a cool 500 million people. 500,000 people. But, of course, George W. Bush had 8 years for the 14.7 million, excuse me, and Barack Obama has managed to just skirt those numbers in three. if another 500,000 go on the dole in the next year, he would have reached George W. Bush's numbers in half the time. And then I got this audio. This audio shocked the crap out of me. And it came from Reverend Jesse Jackson, who said this.
I say it's an honor to be a food stamp president. Food stamps feed the hungry. Food stamps save the children. Food stamps help the farmer. Food stamp helps the truck driver. Food stamps help the warehouse. Food stamps help the store. Food stamps hire people and feed people. Food stamps save people from starvation and malnutrition. Whenever you attack feeding the hungry, you undermine the moral authority of our faith. Give President Barack Obama a big hand. Show your love. Show your appreciation.
Show your love. Show your appreciation for the food stamp president. It's an honor to be a food stamp president. Now, I would ask whether or not the same, considering that sentiment, that would mean that it was a it was an honor for George W. Bush to be a food stamp president. Hey, according to the numbers, George W. Bush did more, didn't he? Food stamps helps the farmer. Food stamps helps the poor. Food stamps help the hungry.
Wait, but food stamps help the children.
The children. Now, see, again, it's a narrative. If you were to ask Jesse Jackson today, does that mean that you give those props to our good friend, George W. Bush? They would say, yeah, but George W. Bush, he fought that. He fought food stamps. Now, look, which is it? Which is it? Is George W. Bush the food stamp president?
Good for the goose ain't good for the
it's
gander.
It's never good for the gander. Never good for the gander. The hypocrisy is mind-blowing. And I laugh at guys like Jesse Jackson.
Hello, this is Calandra, not your mother, Unabomber. And guess what, people? I love President Obama. Yes, I do. I love President Obama. And guess what? I voted for him. Do you want to know why I voted for him? Do you want to know why? Because he's black. He black. Yes, I said it. I said it again. Yeah, I voted for him because he was black. Yes, I did. And guess what? I'm going to get me some health care. Showed up. I don't know why you looking at me. You need to be at work so you can pay for my health care. I love it. Yes, I do. I'm getting health care. Ain't got no job. I love America. I love me some America. Me and my seven children. All seven of my children going to get some health care now. Showing up. Sign the bill, honey. Sign the bill. So, anywho, that's all I got to say about it. And if you don't like President Barack Obama, if you don't like him, then you is a racist. Yes, I said it. You is a racist. Uh-huh. Yeah, you are. Because you know what? President Obama is doing good by me. Uh-huh. Now, yes, I can get sick now. So, y'all keep going to work. Making all that money because your taxes is helping me and my chillings. All right, over and out. Thank you. I love America.
I say it's an honor to be a food stamp president. Food stamps feed the hungry. Food stamps save the children. Food stamps helps the farmer. Food stamp helps the truck driver. Food stamps kept the warehouse. Food stamps kept the store. Food stamps hire people and feed people. Food stamps save people from starvation and malnutrition. Whenever you attack feeding the hungry, you undermine the moral authority of our faith. Give President Barack Obama a big hand. Show your love. Show your appreciation.
Now, I don't know any truck driver who says that food stamps help him. I would expect his freaking paycheck to do that. Why would you work a job if you need food stamps? Why work a job? I mean, your job, the reason why you have it, is to pay your bills to feed your belly.
But he's not, what he's saying is, I think what he's saying, how I interpreted that was, food stamps basically helps everybody. Like, it's some kind of economic, you know, it grows some kind of economic backing.
He thinks it saves jobs.
Yeah.
How?
Because some, just like the Secretary of Agriculture said, that you have to put stuff on the shelves. People are there to buy it. You got to have somebody stock the shelf. You got to have the truck drivers bring the food to the stores and deliver them. So they're trying to say it's a circle of food stamp life.
Well, in essence, then you're saying that the person who is making sure that that stock worker or that truck driver who delivers the food, they're not employing people because, in essence, the government is helping them keep their jobs. They're not in any way improving the quality of life of someone who could be making their own money. In other words, it's not supposed to cost the government for someone to keep a job. You get my point?
Yeah.
It's not supposed to cost the government to do that. It's supposed to be you working, keeping the company, you know,
yeah,
keeping
but
them
you
working.
How he said, you notice how he threw in that food stamps helps the White House?
The warehouse. He said the warehouse.
No. He said the White House.
No, it sounded like that, but that's the way.
Play
no.
it again.
I heard it. He
play.
Sounds.
He
I
said
thought
White
he
House.
Said the White House, but he does
said
say
the White House.
No, he says the
that's
warehouse.
Mr. Bumpkin said the White House.
Said
the
Obama.
Warehouse.
That man hasn't spoken English.
A food stamp
for him.
He is
food
so
stamps.
Country.
Hold on. I can't play it while you guys are talking.
He's so country.
Yes, it's.
Food stamps help insurance.
Listen.
Say it's an honor. To be a food stamp president. Food stamps feed the hungry. Food stamps save the children. Food stamps help the farmer. Food stamp help the truck driver. Food stamps help the warehouse. Food stamps help the store. Food stamps hire people.
Yeah, he said the warehouse.
He did. The warehouse.
Yeah,
so
the
wow,
warehouse.
You really have to listen to that because he said warehouse.
Warehouse.
He said it like it was WH.
He enunciates like I can't even say because it's too bad.
Enunciating
horribly.
Non-English terms.
He's the worst enunciator.
I think he's
ever.
A lisp. It sounds like he has some type of.
There may be some. He's got the worst enunciation.
The worst.
Even I was picking it up. That sounds like I am. It must be. Yeah, it's awful. But again, as I said, here's the guy, bottom line, JC. Here's the guy, bottom line, saying that food stamps are good. We need to applaud the president for being a food stamp president. Do you believe that Barack Obama would endorse this endorsement? Or at least say that, you know, hey, you know, Jesse Jackson makes a good point. You think he would agree with this?
Of course.
JC?
I'm here.
Yeah, no. No, he wouldn't agree with that.
Of course he wouldn't endorse it. It's ridiculous.
Barack Obama would not endorse that.
You believe that Barack Obama would endorse Jesse Jackson saying that being a food stamp president was a good thing?
Most definitely.
It boasts everything that the Republicans are accusing of now. Well, more so Newt Gingrich, for that matter.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying that in an effort to denounce Newt Gingrich's statement is sort of to accept it by saying, oh, yeah, you know what? You call him a food stamp president? This is a good reason why. You know what? He is a food stamp president because look at all that good it does.
And this is his chance to step up to the plate and be exactly what every African-American wants him to do is get a little get.
Hmm.
And be like, that's right, I'm the food stamp president. What's your problem?
I don't know. That's a little insane to me.
But that's what people want him to do. It's everywhere. They want him to do that. So why not do it about food stamps? That would be brilliant on his behalf if he wants that vote.
I don't believe that people
that
are going.
Vote alone cannot help him.
I don't think it will. And of course, the fact that Barack Obama had to launch African Americans for Barack Obama shows a very, very strong sign for me.
For me too.
That he's worried about the African American vote this time around.
And hopefully he should be worried about everybody's vote, because this really has nothing to do with being black or white. I mean, he hasn't done what he said he was going to do. No one's holding him accountable. You know what? It's funny. I listened to 96.3 right here in D.C., right? And even on my way home tonight, like every night when I get out of work, I get in the car and I turn the stations. And normally I will land on its number 3 programmed in my radio. And I'll land on 96.3 because I like the music, but the people on there are ridiculous. And every night for the last like 3-4 nights, they've always had something negative to say about the Republicans. They say something positive about Barack Obama. People, this is why we need to get out and vote. And you know who their audience is. So, and what they say is just so untruthful. It's ridiculous.
Well, they know it is. It has no basis and no standing. But, you know,
they're doing it in the morning, too, on the Steve Harvey Show. Every morning, I swear. It's like, okay, can we get real? Just put the music on, because that's why I'm listening to your station, because you're a moron, and you're lying to people. You're filling filling your own people's heads.
Now, what you ain't fitting to do?
The BS.
Yeah, it is. They are.
What you ain't fitting to do.
Is it purposefully, or do you think that it's just because they're so not, they can't see the big
picture? Oh, absolutely. Look, I got to say this. Because someone said it today, and you know what? I thought about it, and I listened to it, and I'm going to play the audio in a little bit. Liberals are very dumb. They are. Liberal, very knee-jerk liberals.
I knew I wasn't living up
to it. Are very, very dumb. They are. They are knee-jerk idiots. Even when something is absolutely clear to them, they still don't get it. And it completely goes over their head, and it's frightening in some cases. But I'm going
to
play you some.
It's to the point, you know what, Reese? It's to the point where I can't even have political conversations with my family. I can't even have political conversations with my family. They're so programmed.
They're so programmed
that a sentence is like beating your head against a wall.
It's like beating a dead horse.
This is what Stalin said about useful idiots, is that, you know, you promote a narrative and they'll repeat it. And they go, you know, as I played in the first audio about Andrew Breitbart, is that these people, they're just drones. They refuse to think for themselves. They're told to do something. Here, hold this sign. Shout this message. And then when you're confronted about it, as Andrew Breitbart did in the audio I played last hour, when he says, you know, a guy standing up there saying Glenn Beck is a coward, or no, Glenn Beck is a liar, and Breitbart confronts him. What did he lie about? One guy goes so far, he's like, oh, one guy turns around and says, he says pretty much everything. And I'm going, how is that a definitive answer?
That what kind of proof?
Yeah, what kind of proof that? Oh, so just about everything. So you can't give one consistent thing that he's a liar about. And that's the whole thing. It's like, look, don't do anything about facts. Don't do any fact-checking. Don't at least even present any facts. Just completely repeat a narrative. Don't back anything up. You know, and I argue this all the time, everywhere. Please, prove your point. Don't just come at me and tell me. I had a conversation with somebody today, a long conversation, and a part of the conversation went into something that someone else had said about me. Mm-hmm. And my retort to that was that what makes what they said, what gives what they said veracity? Because they said it? That's enough. So because they said something about me, immediately that goes unchallenged.
Yeah, everything you know about me.
Everything else. It's like to completely throw it out a window. This person said something, so I have to be accountable for what someone else says. It doesn't matter if there's any facts. They produce no evidence to you. But somebody comes to you and says that they said something about me, and I go, really? Really? And that's it. That's all it needs to make that a positive. And, of course, they couldn't dispute that because I'm just going, look, it doesn't matter what it is that somebody says about me. You can say all day that Glenn Beck is this. You can say Andrew Breitbart is that. You can say Rush Limbaugh is this. You can say Sean Hannity is that.
But it means
but when you're asked,
have anything
right,
to
when
back
I'm asked to back it, you to back it up, and then you have nothing, then your narrative is zero. Okay? Everything about you is zero.
Of course it is.
You have no validity, none whatsoever, which is one of these that I find frightening in this country today. And all we have to do is just...
It's laziness. Honestly is because it takes time for someone to really understand politics. It really, I mean, people are so busy with their everyday lives, they're texting, they're, you know, you're in your car, you can't stop texting while you're driving, Jesus Christ, don't kill anybody. You know, you're doing all kinds of stuff. Excuse me. You can't even go to the bathroom without somebody calling you. So how do you have time? And if you don't answer the phone, they're like, why didn't you answer the phone?
Right.
I was indisposed. Do you mind? Can I use the restroom in private?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Who has time to really pay attention to what is going on?
Well, it's easy to get those people who aren't, you know, they always want to respond to those things that they think or they feel isn't right. Well, that doesn't seem right. You know, and I say to get you when you're very, very young and you're very vulnerable. You know, I said, you know, you show a bunch of kids some polar bears on an ice slab in the Antarctic, and all you have to do is put that caption, the polar ice caps are melting, and this polar bear is losing his home. The little kid sees that and goes, oh, mommy.
Can we have a polar bear here?
Yeah, exactly.
We can let them live in the bathroom.
And it doesn't just happen with children. This happens with adults, people who don't know better. Oh, that doesn't seem right. Yeah, I'll sign that. I gotta find this audio. JC, if you can, we'll take a break for a little bit. JC, come on the air real quick. I just want to see if you can find this audio clip if you're there.
Run with it, sir.
Download the audio of Penn and Teller. Penn and Teller did a show about diglyceride something, whatever the deal was. There were people protesting water. Okay? Penn and Teller, just look up the thing. Penn and Teller get people to sign petition against water. See if you can download it. I'm going to give you about 6 minutes. We'll do commercial. See if you can get that audio up, and I'd like to play it for you. Because, see, some people don't even care what Teller says about these people. Penn.
Yeah,
Penn Jillette. What he says about this audio is brilliant. Is that people in a mob mentality don't even care whether or not there are any facts. All you have to do is just say sign a petition, give them a narrative, they'll believe it, and of course they'll
give
all sign it. Yeah,
be.
Give them a reason to sign it. So look that up for me. We'll take a break. I want to play that audio when we get back if we can. It's a sad day. But let's play Andrew Breitbart, who I believe, again, and Mary, you didn't get a chance to hear this, but this is Andrew Breitbart confronting the protesters. They were at a Glenn Beck, anti-Glenn Beck rally.
Do you even know what you're protesting? How much are you getting paid? You don't even know why you're here. You don't understand why you're here.
We know very well
how much
why
are you getting paid.
We're not getting paid
today.
We're not paying anybody. Nobody's getting paid. We are here.
No more hate.
Are you here to stop the hate?
Yes.
Are you a hateful man?
I'm certainly not.
You're hateful.
I'm a peaceful man.
What are you here for?
I am here to stop the hate. That Glenn Beck is promulgating.
Like what? One thing that he said that's hateful. One thing that he said that's hateful. One. Not 100. One. One.
I'm not going to fall into your trap.
One. It's a trap. Truth is a trap.
He should not be allowed to take
that
from us.
Why is he a coward? 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 Your sign says Beck is a coward. Why is he a coward? Why is he a coward?
He stands there on his.
I'm asking him. That's what he's saying.
He stands in his TV show. It just, you know what?
Why is he a coward? Your sign has a very clear statement. Why? SEIU. Who here is from SEIU?
What has Beck lied about? I'm going to go sign by sign. What has he lied about? Name one lie.
Probably everything.
Probably everything. Good quote.
There you go.
Is there a single person here willing to back up what your sign has to say? Is there a single person whose sign is backed up by truth? Here. You're here because the unions told you to come here, and he's organizing you. You are not an individual. You are a mass, and he's organizing you. You do not have free will in the United States. You want to be led. I thought dissent was patriotic. Since we started organizing, saying we want to get back to the Constitution, that we want to get back to the founding principles, we've been told that we're haters for saying that we believe in the Constitution.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back live on Blog Talk Radio. Bottom of the hour. It's March 1st, 2012. And thank you, JC, because, you know, I always find you a staff. Thank you for finding me on. This is a perfect example of what it is that I was talking about.
We sent one of our pals, Chris McGaha, to a rally to collect signatures for a petition. She's going to ask people to sign a petition banning dihydrogen monoxide. That's dihydrogen monoxide. Water. That's right, water. And she's not going to lie or even stretch the truth. Not at all. She's just going to talk about what water is and what it does with the vocabulary and tone of environmental hysteria.
This is a petition for dihydrogen monoxide. What it is it's a chemical that is found now in reservoirs and in lakes. Pesticides, different kind of companies are using this. Styrofoam companies, nuclear companies. And now when they use it in pesticides, when we're washing our fruit and things like that, it's not coming out. Which of course means that it's ended up in the grocery stores and in our baby food and stuff like that. It causes excessive sweating, excessive urination. Anything to help the environment.
These people signed. We don't know if they thought, but they signed.
There we are.
Can I get you guys to sign a petition?
What for?
For banning dihydrogen monoxide.
Oh, yeah, I'll sign that.
Thank you very much.
And our petition woman was getting signatures left and right. Okay, mostly left. But man, there's a lot of people against that evil water.
It's everywhere, and we just really need to ban it. Two more supporters.
These passionate, informed people didn't even need to ask what dihydrogen monoxide is. They didn't even ask. Is passion supposed to replace common sense? We understand the desire to join up and do something important. It's sexy to save the world, but you got to spend a couple of minutes to find out if you're really saving the world and not just being herded around by some politically motivated assholes who may not really care that much about the environment, but see this as some chance to raise money for whatever they think is a good idea. No end justifies the means of lying. Man, there are a lot of people who signed the petition. And we're not talking a handful of dopes. We're talking hundreds.
It causes a lot of urination, vomiting.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Okay.
Even the head organizer of this rally signed the petition eagerly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, will you sign my petition?
And our petition was still getting signatures.
Companies like pesticide companies, styrofoam companies, nuclear companies, all of these people use it.
Finally, we let her tip it.
Are you concerned about water?
I am, yeah.
Is water something that should be banned?
What sort of water?
Water.
Should be banned?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think we need to drink water, and I don't know what you mean by water should be banned.
This petition is to ban water. Dihydrogen monoxide is water. H2O.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we set these folks up, but it does show that maybe they're not so much environmentalists as they are joiners of anything.
And there you have it. And there you have it. Now, you've never seen this before, right?
No.
This is a real, they really went out there.
I really thought that I was waiting for them to say what it was because I really thought that it may have been, you know, something that was in water or whatever. I had no idea that that was the technical term.
That's the technical term for H2O. And dihydrogen monoxide. It's just water.
Not monoxide.
No. Dioxide.
Yeah.
Right. It's water. And they didn't bother to ask. And all she had to do was use speech. Meaning,
she used styrofoam.
Yeah, she's using styrofoam. Nuclear plants use it.
Pesticide companies.
Water. It's like, yeah, of course they use water.
Everybody uses water.
But all you have to do is just do it in their own speech. And again, this was, you know, as Penn Jillette puts it, they're joiners. And why are they joiners? Very simple.
But you know what, though? The world is separated by, I mean, there's joiners and there's go-getters.
Well, there are people who seek out the truth versus people who are just joining because they want to be a part of something. I've always said this when I was young, that there are people who need to be a part of a clique. They need to be a part of what's hip and what's cool. Young people are the worst offenders of this particular ideal. They have to be a part of something. You know, and again, as Penn Jillette also says, you know, joining or saving the planet is sexy. It's cool. You know, girls dig it. You know, that
girls nowadays.
Yeah, it's again, but it's stupid, you know. I don't want to be a part of anybody who's of any group of people who refuse to be informed and would rather be driven to their own conclusions. If you get my meaning,
of course.
So, and I think that's what these people do.
That's how society is getting.
Go ahead, JC.
What's nuts about this whole thing is that there was only one person that asked what it was.
Well, yeah, it wasn't him. He said, the producer asked him, do you know what you just banned? Do you know what you just signed a petition for? And, you know, when the guy turns around and goes, oh, it's water, really? It's like, well, how much do you know? You know, all you know is that you're at a rally, and again, he's in an atmosphere. Everybody there is there to, you know, to save the planet.
They tend to use these rallies and such and as protests as means of dating. You know what I mean?
Right. It's to organize, to be a part of a group. You know, again, it's often used. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. But again, we know people of this ilk. That's who it is that they are. Their need.
Well, that's just
it.
I was going to say, another personal story. I have a brother who is a paid protester.
Really?
He had no idea what he was protesting, but he'd be out in front of the state capitol every day getting paid to do so.
Well, hey, where can I get a job like that?
That's what I want to know. He would never put me onto it, but hell yeah, I want to get paid to protest. And he used it not only for protesting, but for dating. He'd walk up to a girl and be like, well, your cause or mine? Let's have dinner and talk about it.
Your cause or mine.
Let's have dinner and
your
talk about it.
Your cause or mine.
Oh, God.
Wow. It's bananas. And all a bunch of hippies.
Yeah, that's always the case. A bunch of hippies. Uninformed, misinformed hippies. It's sad, but very, very true. I think the Occupy movement is a lot of that. Very, very strongly is a part of that sort of ideal or ideology. I'm sorry to say it, but the black community is very, very guilty of that.
Hippies, we got them.
No, but stepping out of what's considered the mainstream is what it is that I find even more annoying and upsetting. To give you a perfect example, this is, you know, what I say is very relevant. If you were to ask anybody, and you guys go to work or get around anybody you want, just ask them one question. Who was the president who first mentioned WMDs, weapons of mass destruction? Who was the president who said that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction?
Are you asking me that?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Who do most people give credit for making?
Guess, but I can't tell you.
Who do most people give credit to saying that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction?
George W. Bush.
And we, Of course it isn't true. This is audio from... No, it wasn't. This is audio from February 17th, 1998.
Wow.
The president...
Is Ollie North in this?
No. The president was William Jefferson Clinton.
Now, let me say to all of you here, as all of you know, the weightiest decision any president ever has to make is to send our troops into harm's way. And force can never be the first answer, but sometimes it's the only answer. You are the best prepared, best equipped, best trained fighting force in the world. And should it prove necessary for me to exercise the option of force, your commanders will do everything they can to protect the safety of all the men and women under their command. No military action, however, is risk-free. I know that the people we may call upon in uniform are ready. The American people have to be ready as well. Dealing with Saddam Hussein requires constant vigilance. We have seen that constant vigilance pays off, but it requires constant vigilance. Since the Gulf War, we have pushed back every time Saddam has posed a threat. When Baghdad plotted to assassinate former President Bush, we struck hard at Iraq's intelligence headquarters. When Saddam threatened another invasion by massing his troops in Kuwait along the Kuwaiti border in 1994, we immediately deployed our troops, our ships, our planes, and Saddam backed down. When Saddam forcefully occupied Erbil in northern Iraq, we broadened our control over Iraq's skies by extending the no-fly zone. But there is no better example, again I say, than the UN weapons inspection system itself. Yes, he has tried to thwart it in every conceivable way, but the discipline, determination, year in, year out effort of these weapons inspectors is doing the job, and we seek to finish the job. Let there be no doubt, we are prepared to act. But Saddam Hussein could end this crisis tomorrow simply by letting the weapons inspectors complete their mission. He made a solemn commitment to the international community to do that and to give up his weapons of mass destruction a long time ago now. One way or the other, we are determined to see that he makes good on his own promise.
That's William Jefferson Clinton, you may know him as Bill, saying Saddam Hussein promised to give up his weapons of mass destruction February 17th, 1998. George W. Bush, not even a forethought. If you want further truth, same day. Vice President Al Gore.
Almost exactly 7 years ago, our soldiers were called upon to once again show the world just what they could do in the deserts of Iraq when Saddam's forces surrendered to our allied coalition and Kuwaiti citizens once again proudly proclaimed their independence from Saddam's tyranny. Since then, of course, in Haiti and Rwanda and Bosnia, in Europe, Korea, and beyond, every hour of every day and night, on land, in the air, and at sea, our troops have served our nation with tremendous courage and effectiveness. And now, once again, the international community faces a serious challenge in the Persian Gulf, a challenge that has engaged the very best of our diplomatic skills and could once again test the might and mettle of our armed forces. There should be no doubt Saddam's ability to produce and deliver weapons of mass destruction poses a grave threat to the peace of that region and the security of the world. His defiance of the will of the international community to allow UNSCOM to do its job cannot and will not be tolerated.
Need I say any more? 1998, George W. Bush isn't president. George W. Bush doesn't become president until November of 2000.
Now, you would know this better than I would.
Sure.
Because you follow this a little closer than I do. But if I'm not mistaken, wasn't this during the whole impeachment?
Yes, it was. There was an investigation into Whitewater, which led to the Monica Lewinsky scandal. That's exactly
that
right.
That investigation in Whitewater didn't. That's the investigation that Ollie North was interviewed
no,
in.
No. Wrong
yes,
thing.
It is.
Not Whitewater. Whitewater.
No.
You talk about Iran-Contra many years earlier.
Iran-Contra.
How many years?
Iran-Contra 12 years earlier.
No.
Yeah, 12 years earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the mid
80s.
But somebody asked him in that trial or whatever investigation, who was the person in the Middle East or something to that nature that you are more fearful from than anybody else? And he said Osama bin Laden.
Well, most people were. Osama bin Laden was a threat during that time. So
why wasn't something done then?
Because
that should have been done in 93 when he bombed the World Trade Center then.
Yes, exactly. Something should have been done in 1993.
He was the same person that bombed the World Trade Center in
Osama bin Laden?
Wait. He was the same person that was responsible for bombing the World Trade Center when it was like a car bomb underneath?
The truck bomb. That's
the truck bomb,
yeah.
So do you remember that the news gets on and says, there's no way that you could break these buildings down unless you, burn them.
That's exactly what they said. Yes, exactly.
Like, they told them, here, dumbasses.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't get it right this time, but we're going to tell you all about the architecture.
Exactly. They completely broke it down, and, of course,
The news in a lot of ways hinder us.
Mm-hmm.
The news in a lot of ways hinder us. That's why you never heard about those 500 megatons of yellow cake.
That's right.
They kept that from
the
news.
The same person. Like, I honestly.
Absolutely,
no idea.
The 93 bombing. That's right. In fact, we just saw.
Oh, you know what the response was? Mm-hmm. You remember what the response was to the 93 bombing?
What was? What was the response?
Clinton sent over quite a few missiles and had a bunch of empty tents and a school and a mosque. School
That's
full
correct.
Of children and a mosque.
That's correct. That was his retaliation. He sent he sent Patriot missiles. That was his response. No soldiers on the ground, no foot soldiers, nothing. He fired from Navy ships. That's exactly right. But again, see what I'm saying about...
But I think we would have gotten them had we had intelligence on the ground, but it was he who said, we don't need spies, we're the good guys.
Right, exactly. But again, you see how a false narrative, no matter what the facts are, a false narrative can present it, and you can ask anybody today whether or not George W. Bush was responsible for talking about weapons of mass destruction, whether or not it was his baby, whether or not it was his report, whether or not the intelligence came during his administration. And again, over and over and over again, there is evidence to prove that. And look, like I said, that's sitting on my website on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can look it up. It's there. Well, he may have finished his daddy's war, but weapons of mass destruction was not something that came out of the mouths of the Bush administration first.
It didn't come out.
And Clinton attacked him first because of it. And that was pretty much to draw the public's attention away from the whole impeachment hearing.
And again, this was Bill Clinton speaking to the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon, giving that speech in Al Gore as well later on that day. So, you know, again, as I always say, a false narrative is exactly what it is that liberals need in order to push their agenda. And, you know, as I have often used the quote, he who controls the agenda controls the conversation. And it's already been put out there and people believe this garbage. Sad but true. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into some other news. Why is Lady Gaga got little kids jumping around in pink t-shirt? We'll be back.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birth.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on dogtalkradio.com.
Yeah, he's also doing some freaky things at Stringfellow's as well. He ran the old manual. Anyway, I want to play some audio. I'm going to play it later about Russ Limbaugh. He's been getting some backlash in the media. But I really should play it now. It's more important to play it now. I'm going to play it now because this is absolutely frightening. It's Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. I want to play this audio, and I want to get you guys' reaction to it and see what you feel about it, because he's getting backlash. They're comparing this to what Don Imus said about the Rutgers basketball players when he used the nappy-headed ho comment. And because Rush used this inflammatory language, it makes a strong point. But let me give you some background. So this woman goes to speak in front of the Senate committee, and she's talking about how important it is that she get birth control for free. And Rush Limbaugh is responding to her going on the Senate floor. A woman's name is a Fluke, is her last name.
Maybe she was a fluke.
Yes, well, it would have. See, I would have said, look,
maybe
this
birth control would have helped
this,
her.
This would have been smart.
From a horrible life.
This would have been smart for Democrats to make a point if they didn't use her. But I want you to hear what Rush Limbaugh says and why it's just so dumb that anybody would make this argument that what he said was inflammatory, because he makes a very, very valid point.
To say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex. What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
This cost Don Imus a lot of career, career, this kind of talk, calling people sluts, whores, this
right.
kind of stuff.
Well,
I just wonder about this guy who you guys all bow before as the great Alexa Henty, the one who approves or disapproves your crop of thinking every year. Are you going to take him on, or are you going to be out there all alone, or what? Republican elected official go after this guy. Steve.
Yeah, Michael, listen to Michael. I love you, man, but he sounded today like a vile, disgusting pervert who had come completely unglued on the radio. You know, I cannot believe what he said. I cannot believe that he'll get away with it. And I cannot believe that it won't cost him millions of dollars in a slander suit that if this woman is smart, she'll bring tomorrow morning.
So that's pretty much what the deal is saying that here's a woman who goes before a Senate committee – and she says that she deserves to get free contraception, and she wants us to pay for it. And Rush Limbaugh's point pretty much was, if we're paying for you to have sex, because that's what we're paying for. We're paying for you to have sex. And, you know, what does that make you? That makes you a prostitute. We're paying you to have sex. This isn't about your health at all. This is about you having sex. Contraception is about sex. We're paying you to have sex, and then we're the pimps. Or we're the Johns, for that matter. And so they're saying that this is in some way inflammatory.
I don't know.
We're affording her the opportunity.
Exactly. God, please, please, please rebut.
I'm at a loss, but it's the way that he does. It's just.
Forget about the way that he says it. Is it truthful?
Never mind sugarcoating it.
JC, wow, I can't believe that you feel like that, too. Unbelievable.
Why are you? What, tell me what's
offensive.
It was offensive.
In what way?
You didn't have to call
Mary.
Yes.
Mary.
Yes.
Give me the money to buy a box cutter to rob a package store.
Give you the money to buy a box cutter to rob a package store.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Yeah. Why the hell would I do that?
Why the hell would we pay for her contraception for her to have sex?
Where'd she come up with this?
No, well, why would we be responsible? Why should we be responsible for her having sex? How can we be footing the bill for her to have sex willy-nilly?
I'm not saying that we should be, and you know that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that he called her a slut. He called her a prostitute because I thought she said, yeah, that's what she wanted to get paid to have sex. That's what I thought I heard.
What is contraception for?
Okay, yeah, Reese, I comprehend that. But he was actually saying to her.
He could have put it nicer.
You want us to pay for contraception, so that makes you a prostitute. You're a slut.
If we're paying for it.
If we're, you know, you're getting paid to have sex.
In essence,
when you're with someone and having sex with them, you're paying them and they're paying you too. Whether it's
but see, you don't see liberals.
We're paying for. Can we watch?
Right, liberals don't.
Damn,
liberals don't want us in their bedroom, right? But yet they want us to fund what it is that they do privately in their bedroom. You can't have it both ways.
Listen, I agree with you, and I don't think that. I don't want my tax dollars to go for people to get contraception. That's your problem, not mine. Get a job. You can afford
in New York City, I'm sure they're always out in the streets passing out condoms to strippers. I mean, not to strippers, but to hookers.
Now, you know what? Okay, now that's, if you're...
We do.
Okay, and you know what, though? I think that is a good thing.
Well, that's government.
Well, then she ought to go out there and walk and get herself.
I'll let some of my tax dollars go to that because I know you're not going to curb prostitution, but if you can curb the amount of disease that happens during prostitution, and you can.
In essence, we're funding contraception for prostitutes. Why would she be any different?
If she wants to be funded, tell her to walk down and get her some herself.
That's right. Walk down with the street with one of those prostitutes and wait until they come and hand them out.
When was that, Hunts Point?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Hunts Point.
Oh, my God.
One of my favorite documentaries.
on HBO. The Hookers Up the Point?
Yeah.
Up and hose down.
I wanted that narrating job so bad.
Well, that guy is a I really don't get any more ghetto than that voice. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dispute what Rush Limbaugh said. As inflammatory it is. Forget that. I don't like that sugar coating crap. Yeah, but so what? So what? Don Imus is still on.
Candy is so sweet. So
yeah, right.
Sweet, she walk by, she'll give you a toothache.
Awesome.
Look at her walk.
Let's do the
legs.
Let's
her
do the
creamy thighs.
Thank you, Jason. Please. This is top of the hour. Run. Bye.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb as sweet as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you. Reese.
This March 1st, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701 if you were still time on the show. And of course, you can log on to ResetOnTheRadio.com and send us an email at ResetOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. So the news was actually very, very sparing today. The news of Andrew Breitbart's passing pretty much dominated a lot of the airwaves, and of course, post primary stuff was a big part of the news today. So we didn't have a lot going on. Of course, today was supposed to be Therapy Thursday, but I think I kind of had that that moment last night, so we won't be doing Therapy Thursday today. To give you a recap of what we talked about, of course, the Andrew Breitbart story. And then from then on, we went to the Obama administration suggesting that we should spend $750,000 on a brand new soccer field or half of a soccer field for a Guantanamo Bay suspected terrorist, which seems like almost ridiculous to even do. Then, of course, we talked about the narrative that has been happening in today's discourse and how they are forcing people to believe a false narrative and not and people how they're not getting the facts. The story today that I actually saw that was amazing, one of the parents of the victims of the Ohio shooting, T.J. Lane, who is the young man who is being charged with those murders, three people dead, at that Ohio high school. One of the mothers has actually come forward and has given forgiveness to T.J. Lane. The report was that the mother said that that's what her son would have wanted her to do, and that is how she raised her son to be. So even though she has lost, a dear member of her family, her child, she's still gone out and forgiven T.J. Lane, which I know a lot of people can find incredibly fascinating. If not, I know it's a difficult thing for anyone to be able to do. It's just not something I think that's in the hearts and minds of average people. You immediately get the sense of not just mourning, but a degree of revenge. I think people respond in that way. There's so much hurt and there's so much pain that you just want to strike out and you want to lash out. There's no reason why anybody wouldn't feel that way when you lose someone important to you like that. This story, I'll get into the middle school story in a second. This story I thought was kind of weird. There is a new Disney character at Epcot Center whose name is Snacker, and she is a fairy causing a major controversy at the theme park in Orlando, Florida. The Snacker, along with a beanbag-shaped mob figure named Glutton and a ball-bellied couch potato named Leadbottom, make a few of the cartoons' villains in Epcot Center's educational exhibit, Habit Heroes. The theme park's interactive experience and corresponding website were created in collaboration with the Blue Cross and Blue Shield, of course, a health company, which is out to teach kids healthy eating habits. But after a soft launch just 3 weeks ago, critics have accused the exhibit of fat-shaming, and Disney has responded by closing the exhibit as the company mulls a relaunch, and the website was also down for maintenance. It's so dumbfounding and it's unreal, said Dr. Yoni Friedhoff, an assistant professor of family medicine, who gave a report to the Calgary Herald. I just can't believe somebody out there thought that it was a good idea to pick up where the school bullies left off and shame kids on their vacation. In question are the over-exaggerated body types of the villains and their association with being bad. Visitors entering to the three interactive rooms are first introduced to their heroes, the fit, muscular, willpower, and calisthenetics. clever girl. They're also confronted with the overweight caricatures, each one product of unhealthy habits. Snacker loves processed foods, and visitors use arcade guns to shoot vegetables at the cream puffs and hot dogs that surround her like an aura. The intention is to inspire kids to live healthier, but the message, says Salon's Mary Elizabeth Williams, is that fat people are bad. Disney's princesses have come under fire before for sending negative messages to young girls about their own waistlines. A recent study found girls who viewed several Disney movies were more likely to identify a virtuous, aspirational princess as someone who is thin, considered a Little Mermaid, a movie where the slender main character spends most of her time in a bikini while villain Ursula fills the screen with her voluptuous, tentacled body. Much has changed since the early days of Ariel. We are now living in a country with a 17% childhood obesity rate. At the same time, the school's bullying cases and teen suicides have called attention to the need for sensitivity. While combating obesity through education is crucial and certainly commendable, it's not as simple as a few cartoons. And some tips on diet and exercise, genetics, finance, and family support play key roles in managing kids' weight in a healthy way. So does self-esteem. I don't agree with most of that paragraph. Let me read it again. While combating obesity through education is crucial, sure, and certainly commendable, no doubt, it's not as simple as a few cartoons and some tips on diet and exercise. Now, that's okay, I agree with that part. Genetics, finance, and family support play key roles. I don't think finance plays a role. We cannot believe, and we can't keep telling our people that people in financial situations or poor financial situations can only eat unhealthy food. That, I believe, is absolutely bogus. And the reason why they use that is because, again, the false narrative. Poor people get fat easier. Whatever. A recent Atlanta PSA featuring overweight kids as cautionary tales became a prime example of how not to teach kids about weight issues. Shame and fear are harmful tactics when it comes to tackling childhood obesity because weight isn't the only issue on the table. Disney's Habit Heroes may be learning that lesson. The exhibit has already been shuttered and the website is down for maintenance, as already mentioned. The attraction is currently closed as we work to further refine the experience, and that's according to the Disney Media Relations Manager named Kathleen Prihoda. Our goal with Habit Heroes is to make sure it conveys a positive message about healthy lifestyles in a fun way. As you may know, Walt Disney has been in the spotlight before. I didn't know this, but JC, you can help me with this because I didn't know that this happened because I don't watch Disney cartoons. It would be a little awkward for me to be there, to be quite honest.
Are you talking about the crows and Dumbo?
No. I'm going to go more recent than that. The Princess and the Frog. Are you familiar with this film?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the argument was...
In fact, I went to school with the princess, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, the princess and the frog. What has created controversy, and I didn't know this, because I thought, hey, all right, they're showing a black princess, you know, and, you know, she, you know, she, and having young black people go to see a movie that they could identify with, and I'm sure white children would go because it's animation, and it's probably funny, and it's probably going to do great numbers. By the way, I'll check Box Office Mojo to see what those numbers were for that film. I'm sure it did well. But
I don't think so, but go ahead.
The controversy was that, and this is crazy because I didn't know this because I never saw the movie. It turns out that the Princess and the Frog created controversy because the object of her affection, the prince...
Hold on. You're bubbling. Try it again.
Oh, I'm sorry. That the object of her affection, the prince in this movie, was not black.
Remember that one.
Yeah.
I remember they were talking about somebody's lips being too big on a cartoon.
Well, yeah, of course. We've seen that a bunch of times. I believe D.L. Hughley, the comedian, was talking about that in some way. Why am I not?
I know that the one of the characters was played by one of my favorite actresses. Every time they need a little ghetto in a movie, they always go and pick her up, and I can't remember her name to save my life. She played Tina Turner's mother in What's Love Got to Do with It.
Well, actually, according to this, it did quite well.
Did it?
It did over $100 million, $104 million.
Really?
But here's
I'm surprised.
Here's where it gets scary. The production budget, $105 million. Now, its domestic gross, only made $104 million. Its production cost was $105 million. Now, overseas, it did way better. It did $162 million in foreign sales.
Well, because they look at African Americans far different than America does.
I did not know Oprah Winfrey was in this movie.
I didn't know she was in there either.
Now, so is Terrence Howard and John Goodman, and a voice that I really, really respect, Keith David, was also a voice in the movie.
Not familiar with him either. I know the only one that I knew about, or that I even cared about, was Anika Noni Rose. She was the princess.
Yes, she was.
And the one that played the old voodoo lady.
It wasn't Oprah? Jennifer Lewis?
Jennifer Lewis, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Jennifer Lewis. So again,
yeah, they go and get her every time they need a little ghetto in a movie. Period.
Right, and you know it's funny because you know even shows like The Family Guy always sort of pokes fun at Walt Disney. I remember a skit, a bit on The Family Guy when they had these kids inside of a movie theater and they had two cows. Both cows were wearing gold chains. And the two black kids, you know, they were talking hip-hop, and the two kids in the theater go, Walt Disney gets us. And it's like, it's really, really, you know. I can go to DreamWorks, who have done it with that, what's the animated film that Will Smith did? A Shark Tale? Was that it? It's got to be A Shark Tale.
I didn't catch the last part of that.
Will Smith.
Yeah, it was A Shark Tale.
Where, you know, they did the Ziggy Marley and Dougie Doug played two Rastafarian jellyfish.
Two Rastafarian squids.
No, they were jellyfish, I believe. And, Will Smith plays the hip-hop talking flounder. The sharks were very Italian. Godfather-like. So, you know, it's not like animation hasn't gone through its typical amount of stereotypes before. I'm actually kind of stunned, personally, that this would be going on at this day. You know, again, trying to show fat people is evil, I find just fascinating. But, I don't know. What are you going to do to get these kids' attention today?
Well,
I don't know.
It's funny, I think that A Shark's Tale just every potential possible stereotype one could think of, especially for an animated movie. I mean, it's there. You just don't notice it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You have to look at it real good to catch it.
Completely over the top to be certain that they reinforce every stereotype that you can think of. But, you know, that's what you got to do. There's, like, not much you can say outside of that. But, you know, we'll see what happens later on. Anyway, we'll get into some other news when we'll get back. I'll go into some other news that I've got here. Middle school girl kicked off, at least benched in the Green Bay, Wisconsin area for telling a person that she loves them. It's an odd story, of course. I'm still reading the details on that story and some other news and views when we get back. Stick around and we'll return. It's Reset Radio.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And we're back at Teresa on the Radio.
Right here live on blogtalkradio.com/radio.
And just 20 minutes after the hour. Sorry, I'm doing a little dance. Can't see it. I'm doing it. yeah, you can see it. Anyway, I saw this story in the news, and I guess, you know, it's that time where we have to get into some news. A middle school girl has been. I don't know exactly how to respond to this for several reasons, and let me explain to you why. Because when I was growing up in junior high school, the one class that I could not stand was the English as a second language class. I hated these people.
That class. You took that class?
No, I didn't take it. I said I hated. Yeah, I hated the people who were in that class because they weren't speaking English. It was English as a second language, but they walked around everywhere speaking their native tongue, usually Mexican or Spanish, of course.
Why don't you call everybody a Mexican?
Whatever. They would Guadalupean, Guatemalan. Ecuadorian, Mexican, I don't care who they were. The point of the matter is that they all spoke Spanish, okay? And I couldn't deal with them on several levels. There were that, and it's frustrating. No, I don't want to learn Spanish. No, I'm not learning it. I know you do this well because you hang around with them. Some of your ex-boyfriends or some of these Latinos.
Well, that was an opportunity for you to learn some.
No, I know. Yeah, okay, look.
You there?
I was.
Yeah, you can't hear us?
No, you faded away.
Oh, okay.
It would have been beneficial for you to have learned it.
No, I don't. But
no,
what did
listen,
I say?
Listen. So I said to him, JC, I don't know if you heard me, but he was talking, and I wanted him to be quiet and let me talk for a moment. So I said to him, espérame un momento, déjame hablar. And he's like, who in the hell are you speaking? I was like, okay.
Well.
He's like, no, don't ever speak to me in any other language but English. I am an American. That is the American language. That is the language you will use when you're speaking to me. And I was like,
I won't listen. Let me get to my point. These kids used to bug the hell out of me because I had a lot of classes with them, like music classes. And if I had a music class and a lot of them were in there, they talked to each other using that language. And I'm not so vain that I think that everything they're saying is about me, but I'd like the opportunity. Of course I did. But most kids would think that. You know, I'm a vulnerable child. But when I read this story, I kind of understood the frustration. Anyway, a unique language controversy has led to a wide-ranging apology from the Catholic Diocese of Green Bay after a middle school girls basketball player at Shawanoe, Wisconsin, Sacred Heart School, was reprimanded in class and kept out of one of her team's games because she told her friends, I love you, in the tongue of her family's Native American tribe. Now, the Green Bay Press Gazette and Associated Press and Green Bay NBC affiliate and WGBA, among other sources, Sacred Heart 7th grader Miranda Washinawatok.
was disciplined in class in front of her peers and then held out of a January basketball team because she had the temerity to tell two of her classmates, I love you, in the language of her native, to be menominkry. I'm not going through this all day. Of which the Washinawatoks are a part. Anyway, this Native American used the phrase in class to two of her friends who she had taught it to. One of her teachers, who's named Juliet Gerda, finally a name I can pronounce, reportedly threw her hands down on the table angrily and said that, you know, old native tongue, would not be allowed to speak in her language because doing so would keep the teacher from knowing what it was that she was saying. Now, she sort of threw her hands down on the desk and said, don't be talking like that. That's what, you know.
Washinawatoks.
Thank you. Told the WGBA of her teacher's reaction to the Minominee. No, it's fun when I do it this way. The Minominee language. How would you like it if I started talking Polish?
I'd call you Polish.
No, you wouldn't. Shut up. The point, of course, is that the Washinawatoks wouldn't stop her teacher from speaking in Polish if it didn't distract the class.
Say that fast.
Similarly, the Washinawatok mother, Taneus Washinawatok, is lobbying for Gorda to be fired after a letter that allegedly served as an apology from Gorda instead read more as an accusation of Miranda Washinawatok's guilt. Unfortunately, the actions of your daughter were not brought to your attention as quickly as they should have been. For this, I apologize, Gorta wrote, according to the Press Gazette. Meanwhile, the assistant girls basketball coach, Billy Joe Duquesne, what the hell is with the people in this neighborhood?
Is this in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Principal Dan Minter and the Green Bay Diocese, Director of Education, Joseph Bound, some people with normal names, all...
It's not New York City to me.
Yeah, all also offered up apologies to the Washinawatoks. Now I can say it. All of which seemed to be well received. With the exception of Gorda's letter, the Green Bay Diocese also issued a more broad apology to the entire Minominee Nation on Tuesday. Now, look, again, I also...
You're bubbling.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure that there is a large population. But if the teacher...
Listen.
Go ahead. Okay.
Give the girl a casino... And let them go away.
And let her not pack cigarettes so that...
This is just... You know...
Go into their land and buy cigarettes.
Yeah, reservation.
You know, listen, I was with the teacher...
Right.
Up until she said, well, how would you like if I spoke in Polish?
Well...
Up until that point, I was with her. I can understand, please don't speak in your language because everybody, not everybody understands it. And someone may get offended thinking that you're speaking about them. Okay,
or
fine, and left it at that.
What if you're cheating in class?
But there wasn't a test going on.
How do you know that? Well, it's just
because
it's specified doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Wasn't her friends or something leaving and she told them, I love you?
Well, whatever it was, she was using the word, I love you. She didn't know what it meant. Teacher saying, look, I don't understand what it is that you're saying. I don't know what it is that you could be telling them. And I need you to speak English in the class. You're in the classroom. Speak English. Can you speak English? Speak English. Leave that other talking your native language for socializing when you're outside of my classroom. No?
And what makes the story worse is what she was saying. And this time where this country's at war, you can't tell someone you love them. It's an atrocity.
Okay.
I say fire her.
No, don't fire her. All these
fire
people
the damn teacher.
People make a mistake, and all of a sudden people talking about people losing their jobs just because they get offended.
Get to a settlement from the Archdiocese.
Knock it off. Absolutely.
Get to a settlement from the Archdiocese.
Yeah. By the way,
the give that girl her own casino.
Considering that we are down in what's called the DMV, which is D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley has signed the state's gay marriage bill into law this Thursday evening.
Capping off
a month of big state-level wins for the gay rights movement around the country. Michael Cole Schwartz of Human Rights Campaign, the country's largest LGBT advocacy and lobbying outfit, tells Yahoo News, we're in a much more proactive place. We've been able to achieve marriage equality in more places, and at the same time, we've seen the public support go up and up. In February, legislators in Maryland, Washington, and New Jersey voted to allow gay couples to marry, though Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey vetoed the bill. The wins followed June's New York same-sex marriage law, the first such bill to pass in a Republican-controlled chamber. There are no Republicans in New York. I don't care what anybody says. Fake-ass Republicans. There's rhinos up there. No, they're rhinos. Republicans in name? Yeah, Romney Republicans. Rhinos. Republicans in name only. The win in New York was partly due to a different gay marriage strategy, identifying vulnerable lawmakers who are anti-gay marriage, and then supporting their opponents in small fry state races. Denver area philanthropist Tim Gill used the Gill Action Fund to pump up $800,000 into a group called Fight Back New York to defeat the lawmakers who voted against gay marriage in 2009 and were shown to be the most vulnerable in polling. It worked. October, the four Republican New York senators who broke with their party to vote for gay marriage in June were rewarded with a $1 million fundraiser attended by Gill and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Well,
look at that.
We know why it's happening.
They were bought that easy. They were bought. They were bought. So just so you know, lesbians, homosexuals, gay people, whatever it is you're being called this week, I don't know what they're called. They change their names all the time. I didn't use anything offensive. I didn't use the F word. How? I used the proper terms. Homosexuals, lesbians, what?
Whatever you want to be called.
This week. Well, I don't know what they... Whatever. All right, you win this time, but they had to buy it. That doesn't mean that the atmosphere is changing. It only means that there it is.
I've got a question.
Sure.
Did they pass that law in West Virginia?
I don't think so.
Let me tell you something. West Virginia, you can get married to your mama.
Not in West Virginia?
They're not passing that law there. That's never, ever going to happen.
Hell, I was waiting to marry my cousin Bill.
You know, this is what my sister says is bound to happen once you change that law. That's exactly what it is that's going to happen. That will be the next thing. Once you change the law,
that families are going to start...
That anybody will be able to get married. Well, if you don't think that that's going to happen...
So you're saying that if you pass gay marriage, that all of a sudden people are going to start promoting to be able to marry their cousins.
Why not?
Why would you do... Why not?
Why wouldn't
because
they... Why
you
wouldn't...
Baby, when you procreate a real baby.
Why wouldn't...
There's a genealogy issue there. There's you cannot do that.
Gay marriage. Listen to me. The whole deal. Will you please listen? The deal is this. It's very simple. Once you are changing, remember the barrier is marriage is between a man and a woman. So now with the law.
No.
The state law. We're saying the state law here. State law is no longer required that it be between a man and a woman. Now it can be between a man and a man, and a woman and a woman. Now. Because of that legislation, who's to say that there won't be fights for other types of marriage?
That's not going to go down. People are not going to be okay.
I worked the runway. I have one thing to say. That's Shantae.
Shantae.
Go ahead.
I just look up that real power.
Go ahead. What was your point?
Don't hit me in the
I promise you I won't.
Tonight, 'cause you're always...
All right, I apologize. Go ahead. What's your point?
You have to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
But that's what gays...
And that, listen, that is a social faux pas. You can't do that. Being homosexual, being lesbian is somewhat accepted by people because it is a... Oh, I shouldn't say that because then that...
The bottom line is that once you open... It is a powder keg. There are going to be people out there of certain groups who believe that they should be able to get married to the groups that they want.
Yeah, but those same sick, psycho people that want to get married to their cousins...
Horse.
Want...
Yeah, what about people who want to get married to their animals?
I was just going to say that. You just took the word right out of my mouth. I'm done.
Again, you're opening up...
When I was a kid...
How they're living wedlock now. What's the point?
My best friend and I walked in on her uncle doing something very...
Okay, I don't even want to know. All right. I don't even know why I went with that. All right, I don't even want to get into that.
Why marry the cow when the milk is already free?
That's nasty. Thanks.
Never
think. Okay, last word. The floodgates are open.
No, the floodgates don't open.
All right. Okay. Again, you don't believe me, but I'm telling you. You know, look, I'll put it to you like this. Here's a perfect example. When the Columbia University professor was having sex with his daughter, a 20-something-year-old co-ed. At Columbia University. The Columbia University alumni said, why is this a problem? They're two consenting adults. He's 46, she's 20-something.
But that's his biological daughter.
But again, the alumni said that they didn't see anything wrong with it because they were consenting adults. It wasn't like he was molesting a child. He was having sex with a consenting adult. Now, of course, I think that's freaking ridiculous. But the alumni at Columbia University said, why was he arrested? Because in New York, incest is legal. But being consent...
What?
Yes, of course incest is illegal. It's illegal. I meant to say illegal. Incest is illegal. Of course it's illegal. But the bottom line is that the argument at Columbia University, some of our brightest minds, our president went there, believe this... Yeah, this... There are two consenting adults who are having a relationship with one another. Shouldn't it be permissible? You don't think that you're opening the floodgates? Because my argument to Supreme Court would be, who defines...
What happened to him?
Well, he's arrested and he's facing trial. In fact, I'll look up the story so you can read it yourself. But the bottom line is that their argument is going to be, who defines what is and shouldn't be love? And that's the argument of the gay rights movement. Who are you to tell me who it is that I should love or marry? That opens the floodgates. I'm trying to tell you, that's, again, these are the floodgates that are about to open.
No, it's not.
Gay marriage passed in the state legislature, I've got an argument.
But you're going way too far.
You think I'm going too far. I'm telling you, I know this is going to happen. Mark my words, folks. Mark my words. It's going to happen. When we come back, I got to do something that I didn't really, really do appropriately yesterday. A hero of mine, aside from Andrew Breitbart, when I was a kid, these guys were my Beatles. I got to give some love to the passing of Davy Jones when we return. Stick around. We'll be back. It's Reset the Radio.
Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reset on Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't need to talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport. You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know the black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got 5 black... Hello?"
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donut unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
Reese on the radio. And we're back. Right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. This is where we're going to be, and this is where we're going to be promoting our show. Forget about yesterday. I'm done with yesterday. I'm all right now. I whined, I bitched, I moaned, I pissed and moaned. I did all of that. You know, I had to check myself earlier today. As a crybaby. I can't lie. I went on my temper tantrum, went off in a corner, canceled the show, just said that's it, I walked out. That's it. It was irresponsible of me because, you know, I'm supposed to be bigger and better than that, and I didn't show that yesterday. And again,
you showed people I'm not disputing.
But because of who I am, I have to check everything at the door. I got to check everything at the door. I'm a real, honest person, and I let you know. I don't shy away from putting my heart on my sleeve. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I've never ever been anybody who's never done that. I showed my vulnerability, and I shouldn't be commended for that.
I shouldn't have done that.
Oh no, I know that. And again, this was me sort of saying I was feeling sorry for myself. I got emotional because I got affected by it. But you know what? So what? I got to move on.
Exactly. And you're still a human being.
Well, no, I am. I was hurt by it. I showed that. I expressed that. It affected me in a way. But I kind of think that for me personally, I looked at it. I was reflective. I was feeling sorry for myself. And then I heard Breitbart died today. And I looked at everything it is that family lost. And everything, like his life is over. I'm breathing another day. I got another day to fight. He's got no more days left to fight. His life is over. It really put things in perspective. And I sat around and I sulked, had a little pit in my stomach all day. And finally, I just woke up. You know, and that's watching the news today about Breitbart and what people said about him. Just knowing that man died in the street like that, walking home. And the things that people said about him and just the things he done and how he inspired me, you know, to keep fighting, to look for truth, to fight for truth. I knew that I was feeling too sorry for myself. I mean, get my ass up and get out there and fight again. Don't let these people win. You can't do that. So that was the reason why I had to check myself at the door like I always have to sometimes, because sometimes, hey, you know, I can be stupid. And I'd say what it is that I did yesterday was... It wasn't the best showing.
I would say it was stupid.
It wasn't the best showing of my character. It wasn't the best. You're being kind. Mary, I appreciate you being kind. The truth of the matter is that it's not so much that I'm being harsh on myself or I'm trying to show myself tough love. It's that I'm being honest with myself.
Okay, and I comprehend that, and I commend you for that. But what I'm saying is we are all human. We all go through things. There's no reason for you. Yesterday, let bygones be bygones. It is what it is. It's 13 minutes before 10 o'clock, and it's been a great show. And it'll continue to be a great
show. And I'm back, right? I'm a lot better than I was yesterday.
You're much better than you were yesterday.
Okay. And I'm back on the ball.
But it's okay that you were the way that you were yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And I understand it. So anyway, when I was growing up, just to get into what it is that I planned on doing today, and we got about 12 minutes to do, or less than that. I wanted to pay a little tribute to the guy yesterday, but of course, as I said, that I was so hurt and harmed and all that other stuff and acting like a big baby. And I wanted to show some respect for a guy that I really, really love because their music was great for me as a kid, and I enjoyed every bit of what it is that they did. I don't care how hokey it was. Davy Jones, my friend, this is for you.
Could hide neath the wing of the bluebird as she sings. The tick-tick-clock alarm would never ring. What did ring? And I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes.
daydream believer and a hope.
You are part of me, as a white knight on your team. Now you know how happy I can be.
I have to admit, that was probably one of the hokiest of songs, but it's a great record. Great recording.
I didn't think I knew anything about them, but I did know that.
Of course you did.
When I got to the chorus, I knew what it was.
This one was great because this one was, you know, this was that era. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, again, how can you not dance to songs like this?
I thought love was only true. Someone else, but not for me. A love was out to get me. Now that's the way it seems. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now
I'm a believer. If I tried,
I thought love was more or less a given thing. The more I gave.
Okay, now that being said, because I like that song.
Can I just say something real
quick? Yeah, please.
I wish that everyone that this could have been videoed live because Reese was going at it.
Yeah, I dance to music. I don't
care. Never stop moving the whole time.
I love.
Up and break out and like
I love dancing. When I listen to music that I love, I have no shame in dancing. Now, you want to see me boogie?
The tricks that you used on me. You're reading all them high fashion magazines. The clothes you're wearing, girl, are causing public scene. I'm not the stepping stone. Not just stepping stone.
When people called them corny, I could not deal with that because they called them like the low rent beat. I hate that. Listen to this.
When I first met you, girl, you didn't have no shoes, but now you're walking around like your front page news. You've been awful careful about the friends you choose, but you won't find my name in your.
Say?
I should be really high right now. Like, I should be sitting in a corner just tripping off of acid right now.
No, you shouldn't. Oh, yes. JC, did you want to chime in?
I can't believe you.
What?
With all of the great music that was around, this is what you jammed to?
I jammed to the Bunch, man. Dave Jones, man. One of my favorite parts for Brady Bunch episodes was when he was on there with March. This was great music. Do not front on these guys. Look, if you can listen.
Hold on. I'm almost willing to bet. You
uh-huh.
don't know one Jackson 5 song.
No, I beg to tell.
Watch this.
Let me tell you. Reese, ever since Reese has come to the DMV, Reese does have a plethora of music, of different genres of music that he likes. Like, I have to say that, like, I was able to see the whole hip-hop kind
of
hood.
Side of him.
Not hood, but hip-hop side of him. And it's so New York that it's crazy, because it's like everything that he plays is just straight New York. Everything is, he's, when he listens to hip-hop, he's at home, I guess.
Yeah, I listen
Mary?
To wide array of
oh,
music.
Oh, you're there.
I listen
Reese?
To a, go ahead.
Do you know who the Silvers are?
Of course I do. Listen, first
oh, you
of
do?
All, the Silvers have one of the best samples ever used in the history, in my opinion, one of the best in the history of hip-hop. I love this sample. And you may remember, the song is called Misdemeanor by the Silvers, which was used by Dr. Dre in the rapper D.O.C.'s first single, Funky Enough. Ba-da-da, ba-da-da, ba-da-da.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite beats, one of my favorite samples ever. I love that original song. In fact, you know what? Misdemeanor, that's tomorrow's dance party track. Let's get that song up there for tomorrow's dance party track, because that's one of my favorite beats ever. One of my favorite beats ever. The original is even as good. Well, I don't even like the rap song as much as I like the original. Hotline, Hotline. You know, how could I miss? The Silvers were the supposed to be the sort of the counterpart to the Jackson 5. You know, I know B-side.
Right.
I have an older sister who was such a Jackson 5, Michael Jackson fanatic. She kept every one of their albums on her wall. Album covers, actual vinyl. So there isn't anything that I don't know about the Jacksons. Big fan of the Jacksons. But see, I grew up in a very musical house. My mom used to beat us to the soundtrack. It matters.
Let me ask another question. Are you familiar with the Escorts?
The Escorts?
Mm-hmm.
No, that doesn't. I remember groups like Skyline. That was another group. They had that song, Call
Me. Skylark?
No, Skyline. Mm. Call Me.
Okay.
If you need someone
when
to
you
talk
need someone
to.
Someone to talk to. Okay.
Action. That's Skyline. I was familiar with another group that I was huge, Unlimited Touch. You got to know this song. Searching to find the one. Search to find the one. You don't remember that? Searching to find.
No.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a drummer because Tony, who was the drummer in that group, went to my church. And when I heard that song, I fell in love with that song, and I was like, "Why?" I knew that I wanted to be a bass player when I heard that bass. I love that whole era. So I grew up on Skyline. You know, I think it was. You know who gave me a resurgence of falling in love with the group Chic and Nile Rodgers? Star did. So when Star talked about guys like Bernard Hopkins, you know, who's, you know, we have the same last name, of course. You know, Bernard Hopkins was the bass player. He was one of my favorite bass players back in the day, and as a musician. What you don't know is that Bernard Hopkins, who was the bass player of Chic, and, you know, all freak out. You know, that was Bernard
yeah.
Hopkins wrote Madonna's Sex You Up With My Love.
I love that song.
Yeah, he wrote that.
How about Young & Company?
So... yeah, there's a lot of that music in that era I'm big on, but just as much as I love that, I love the Monkees. I love the Beatles, too. This is my
one,
joint.
Two, three,
love
four,
this.
Four,
this is
one,
amazing.
Two.
Incredible.
Let me tell you how it will be.
That was the Beatles' attempt at sounding funky.
What's that?
That was the Beatles' attempt at sounding funky.
It was funky.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow. It's Reese on the Radio. We're back. For Mary Mary, why you bugging a JC, the producer, I'm Reese on the Radio, and of course, Kool Aid. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey.
Be thankful I don't take it all.